Good morning, NBC family. Please, if you do have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 6. We will be looking at verses 35 to verse 40. But I'm going to start reading from verses 22 all the way to verse 40 so that we might have an idea of what exactly was happening that led to verses 35 to 40. But before we do that, let us commit our time to prayer. Our gracious Father in heaven, Lord, we humbly come before your throne this morning. We come with gratitude in our hearts, for we know that, Lord, you have saved us not because of our own works, but it was because of your great mercy unto us. And Lord, we pray that as we'll be listening to your word this morning, may you help us to be changed and be transformed by your word. And I also pray that, Lord, would you help me to be able to speak with clarity such that we will all be able to see who you are and to exalt you and to be more joyful and to be thankful. Thank you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So verse 22 follows just after the day Jesus Christ had fed the 5,000 and had walked on water. So please follow with me as I read, starting from verse 22 of John chapter 6. John chapter 6, we are starting to read from verse 22. I'll read. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they say to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they say to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They say to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So read God's word. Like I said, we are going to be concentrating on verses 35 to 40 this morning. And in this passage, I'm going to show you three important aspects about eternal life. Three important aspects about eternal life. And this should bring joy into your life, and it should also cause you to live wholeheartedly for the Lord. So the first point, eternal life is given by Christ. Eternal life is given by Christ. It is interesting to note that this chapter begins with Jesus Christ feeding the 5,000 with bread. And they all ate to their fill and were satisfied that day. On the next day, these people followed Jesus Christ, not because they wanted to hear his teaching, but because they wanted more bread. So the Lord used an illustration of bread to teach them about who he is, to teach them about his true identity. So look with me in verse 35. He said, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life." This should have shocked his followers, for it is such a strong statement to make. Who else can say that? Who else can say, "I am the bread of life," except only Christ? The bread to the Jewish people meant life. You cannot survive without bread. That was their culture. They live with only bread. So you cannot survive without bread. Unlike us here, we have different kinds of food. If you don't like this, you eat this, because we have so plenty of food that we can eat. But to the Jewish people, bread was their life. And also, it was not an easy thing for them to be able to put bread on the table. It was a hard task. So now when Jesus Christ gave them the bread, they wanted more, because it's now an easy thing. You don't have to work. He's giving you. If I were to ask you to live without food, will you survive? Of course not. See what kind of a picture Jesus Christ is showing us here. He is making a point that as bread is important to one's life, for you cannot live without it, so am I to your souls. Without me, you have no life. Life is only found in me. I am the one, the only source where life comes from. I'm the one that gives life. But there is more to that. Again, look at verse 35. He said, "Whoever comes to me, that is the one who recognizes that I am the source of life, the one who sees his need of this bread and comes to me, shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall never thirst." He is declaring that he is the all-sufficient source of life. And the one who recognizes that, we have an abiding satisfaction. We have life. Friends, this is not just life. This is eternal. This is eternal life. Look with me in verse 40. "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life." Friends, do you see that? What a glorious promise it is. Later in the book of John, we see eternal life being defined. Please turn with me to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. We're going to read verse 2. John chapter 17. The Bible reads, "Since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Eternal life is knowing God. Do you know that the greatest need for human souls is to know God? And we cannot know him apart from Christ. Friends, outside of Christ, there is no life. There is no joy nor satisfaction. We are only satisfied in him. our joy, pleasure, and peace is only found in him. Is Christ your bread of life? If not, if you have no life, you will certainly perish. You need to seek him and believe in him. To those who have believed in him, tell you what, you will never hunger. You will be satisfied in him. You will enjoy God's presence forever. You might say, well, knowledge, I already know this. I know that I have eternal life. What's the point? Well, the truth is, you should be joyful and more thankful to God for giving you life, and that joy must be reflected in your own life. Moreover, if you have truly repented and believed in Christ, you don't have to doubt your salvation. When you see yourself struggling with overcoming maybe certain temptations, you don't have to doubt. For Christ is the eternal life giver and the sustainer of that life. You don't have to doubt your salvation. Because you have been united to him, there is nothing that can snatch you out of God's hands. He will sustain you, for he said, he who comes to me will not hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. Why? Because I will sustain him. I am the bread that produces life and that sustains life. I am the eternal life giver. He goes on to say in verse 36, look with me in verse 36. I said, and this verb is in the past tense, I said to you that you have seen me and yet you do not believe. Look with me in verse 14. Look what is happening in verse 14. When people saw the sign that he had done, they said, this indeed is the prophet who is to come into the world. They knew the scriptures. They were expecting the Messiah to come to their rescue. The Lord Jesus Christ was amongst them, but they did not see him. They saw the sign, but they did not recognize him. That's why he told them that, you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. Do you think these people didn't want eternal life? They did. Look at me in verse 34. They said to him, say, give us this bread always. But when he said to them, I am the bread of life, what did they do? Look in verse 41. They grumbled. They grumbled. So they wanted life, but they wanted it their own way. They wanted life, but they wanted it their own way. Is this not the same thing we see today? If you ask anyone in the streets, they want eternal life. They will tell you that they want it. But then if you tell them to repent and to turn to Christ, you will see that they wouldn't want that. Why? And they all want life, but why would they reject the fact that they have to repent and to turn to Christ? It's because they have been blinded by the prince of this world, according to 2 Corinthians 11:3. They are blinded. They cannot see who Christ is. Friends, eternal life is found only in Christ, who bore our sins and was crushed on the cross. He died and was raised, and he is now seated at the right hand of God. He is the only one who gives eternal life, and that life comes through believing in him. So we have seen that eternal life is given by Christ. Second, eternal life is a gift of God. Eternal life is a gift of God. Look at me in verse 37. In verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me. Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Why? Verse 38. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. What is the will? Verse 39 and 40. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Christ came down from heaven to give life. His coming is a gift from God. He was sent by God for us sinners. He did not come because he saw potential in us. He came for sinners. This was a specific mission that he came for. He came for a rescue mission, and that mission was to give life. He came so that everyone who looks on him and believes in him will have eternal life. Look at verse 40. We see that clearly. This is all God's doing. This is a gift from God. Remember that a gift is not something you pay for. It's freely given. Also note here that God sent his Son into the world, not that we were seeking him. No. But it's because of his love. He is the one who gives people to Christ. Friends, we are not doing anything here. God is the one who initiated all this. See verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me. Praise God for his sovereign election. If we have believed in Christ, it is not because of us being smart. God gave us to Christ. Friends, we do not work for eternal life. God chose us to give this life through Christ. He chose us before the foundation of the world. Look with me also in verse 39. The verb used in here is in the perfect tense. It's something that has been completed already. It reads, all that he has given me. It's in the perfect tense. It has been completed already. And why did God do that? It's because of his love. In John 3:16, you don't need to turn there. In John 3:16, we are told that God sent his Son into the world. Why? Because of his love for the world. For he loved the world so much. It was not because the world was seeking him. His love for us is unconditional. He loved us before we even loved him. Praise God for his gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Friends, do we see what a great God we have? The God who is gracious. Do we see that? You don't work for eternal life. It is a free gift of God. You and I were deserving eternal punishment. For we were rebels. We didn't love God, nor seek him. We did not see him as our creator. We were not worshiping him, but worshiping our own gods. Love, fame, treasures of this world. We were chasing after things, looking for happiness. We were not seeking for God. Nevertheless, because of God's kindness, he sent his Son such that if we believe in him, we might be reconciled to God the Father. Are you thankful for God's gift of eternal life? Do you love God more because of realizing this greatest gift he has given you? Are you ashamed of the gospel? Do you live as the one who has been forgiven of his sins? Do you make it your priority to spend time in communion with God, who has shown you his kindness by giving you eternal life through Jesus Christ? Have you ever thought or remind yourself of this love the Lord has for you, giving you the gift of eternal life? Listen, angels that rebelled against God He has no forgiveness of sins. They do not have a savior. They are waiting for God's judgment. But you, friends, God sent his son to redeem you, to remove you from the realm of sin and to transfer you to the kingdom of righteousness. Friends, if you have not believed in Christ, I want you to know this. Your works cannot and will never make you right with God. Your works will not save you. We are told in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but, take note of this, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. No wonder why Paul counted everything that he had before knowing Christ as rubbish. He understood well the gift that God has given to him. He lived wholeheartedly his life for Christ. Can this be true of you as well? Do you treasure this gift as the greatest gift the Lord has given to you? Christ came down from heaven, not to do his own will, but the will of God the Father who sent him. Eternal life is given by Christ. Eternal life is a gift of God. Third, eternal life is guaranteed by God. Look with me in verse 39 and 14. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Friends, this should give us hope. Listen to what John MacArthur said. The security of salvation rests in the sovereignty of God. For God is the guarantee that all he has chosen will come to him for salvation. Let me read it again. The security of salvation rests in the sovereignty of God. For God is the guarantee that all he has chosen will come to him for salvation. God is guaranteed life, and this life is eternal life. Look again in those two verses, 39 and 14. The verbs that are used in those two verses are in future tense. I will raise him up on the last day. Friends, this will certainly happen. This will certainly happen. The one who has said this is God. If he promises, he will do it. The verse is not saying, maybe I will raise him up on the last day. But it is clear that this will surely happen. He's saying, I will raise him up on the last day, and it will be. We are secured in Christ. We have eternal life freely given to us. Only that we need to do is to believe in him. And what does it mean to be raised up on the last day? Well, Christ is referring to the day where believers will be resurrected, to the day where we will be glorified together with him, the day where he will come to take us and be with him. Beloved, we cannot lose our salvation. Christ has promised that he will raise us up on the last day. If you are saved, you are saved. There is nothing that can snatch you out of God's hands. God is guaranteed eternal life. So I ask you this morning that if you have not believed in Christ, you have to realize that you have no life. There is no life outside of Christ. Life is only found in Christ, who is the one who gives that life. And that life is not just life, it is eternal life. Let's pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, Lord, we are so thankful for your word. We are so thankful that you have even pointed out that outside of Christ, we have no life, and that the greatest need for human souls is to know you, and we cannot know you apart from Christ. Please, Lord, would you help us to be able to comprehend these words, to be able to live by the truth, to be able to live as those who have been saved, to be more thankful and to be joyful, for you have given us your gift. And thank you for even reminding us that you have saved us not because of our own righteousness, but it's because of your great mercy. Please, Lord, help us to be able to put these words into practice. And we pray for those who are not saved, who might be amongst us. Lord, we pray that would you please open their hearts and grant them the gift of repentance and help them to see that outside of Christ they have no life. Help them to see that they are perishing. Please, Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.